Family means a lot to us. We talk with our kids frequently. We FaceTime with them. Praise the Lord for FaceTime. Our oldest son is less than an hour away now, probably about 40 minutes or so, depending on traffic. But our other three kids are between 1,000 and 1,300 miles away. And so we're able to FaceTime with them, usually on Sunday afternoon, evening, when things have kind of calmed down from the weekend, I guess. But that helps us to be able to see our other six grandkids, to talk with them and to watch them grow and be more than just a voice on the phone or a picture. And, you know, I think of when our kids were growing up and we would try to make videos and send to Diane's parents when they were in Florida, and just how much nicer this is, you know, to be able to see them, feel like you're there. And in the little ones, they sometimes can't figure out, you know, how did Grandma and Grandpa get inside this box, and try to look around behind and see where we are, and you know. But it's been a great thing. And you know, I know I've talked about our family vacation and how much that means to us every year to all get together. You know, our daughter calls usually every Monday through Friday morning on her way to work and talks. Besides FaceTime, we usually talk with the other kids during the week sometime. You know, even our son that's close to us, we usually talk to him at least once during the week sometime. But just think how much more God loves to hear from his children. And he can see us and watch us all the time, but still, he wants to hear from us. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks that you love us just like that perfect father that you are, and that you do want to hear from your children. And so help us to remember that. And Lord, I know that I forget often, and just come to you at the times of need, but you want to hear from us on a daily basis when things are going well, and giving us praises just for who you are, not what you do. And so, Father, help us to not forget that. Help me to not forget that. How much of a need it is for me to do that, and how much of a desire it is for you to hear from me. So, Father, as we go into this message, Lord, help us to just be prepared for what you have for us. And Lord, I know people listening to it will agree with parts of it and maybe disagree with parts of what I have to say, my thoughts or takes on things. But Lord, just help them to hear your message, not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in the middle, isn't that where bad things always seem to be? You know, when you're going shopping, you know, I think I've talked about this before, and how some people just practice being in the way in their aisle with their shopping carts. Now they will stop their cart in the middle of the aisle, and then they'll look at something on one side or the other of their cart. Potholes, you know, they're usually not off to the side. You know, they're right there where you're going to hit them every time. You get a stain on your clothes. You know, it's not someplace, you know, in your armpit or someplace where you're not going to see it. No, it's right there on, you know, bold right in the front. You know, and roadkill, you know, once in a while roadkill is off to the side, but most times it's kind of right there, right in your way. Or if you get a hole in your socks or stocking. Do women still wear stockings? I don't even know. I guess my wife has some pantyhose. But, you know, the hole, you know, just kind of ruins the whole thing. And those things are just always kind of right there, ruining everything. Those things just always seem to be there or seem to be happening. Well, I believe that God planned it that way. Okay, right from the get-go, in the beginning. Don't believe me? Well, let's take a look, okay? Genesis chapter 3. Okay, that's not the beginning, but it's pretty close. Okay, so Genesis 3 verses 1 through 3. And this is a New American Standard. And it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he," meaning the serpent, "said to the woman, 'Indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden.' And the woman said to the serpent, 'From the tree of the fruits of the garden we may eat, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.'" Well, did you ever wonder, why did God put that tree of life in the middle of the garden? Okay, he says, don't eat from it, don't touch it, but I'm going to stick it right here, right in the middle, right where you go every day, walking from one place to another. There it is. You know, it seems like no matter what you have to do, you've got to walk right by that tree in the middle of the garden. You know, why didn't he put it off in some distant corner someplace? You know, why did he make it stand out? Isn't that the way it is with temptation? Are the things that tempt you off in the distance someplace? No. No, no. They're right there in your face, staring you down, wooing you, daring you, enticing you, urging you, coaxing you. The Bible defines tempt like this: to entice or attempt to entice someone to do or acquire something that they find attractive, but know to be wrong or not beneficial. Okay? Two important words there, but you know. Okay? But you know to be wrong. You know to not be beneficial. So without knowledge, it's not temptation, because, you know, there's things that are there all the time, and you don't think of that as temptation. It's not a temptation for you, and so it really doesn't bother you. You know, some people say, well, I didn't know it was wrong. Well, temptation says, oh, yes, you did. Okay? So everyone faces temptation. I don't care if you're Mother Teresa or you're Hitler or in between, which that's most of us. That's because temptation is right there in the middle. Okay, I know I've used this before, but I'm going to share it again. It's a poem by Portia Nelson. It says, "I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place. But it isn't my fault. It still takes me a long time to get out." Excuse me. "I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. I walk down another street." Now, this was Portia Nelson's 5-chapter autobiography. She was a singer, an actress, a songwriter, an author. She passed away back in 2001. I know this is something that's used sometimes by Alcoholics Anonymous and other groups like that, Celebrate Recovery, letting us know that we need to do things differently or we're going to keep on falling into that hole. So now, if this were my autobiography, it wouldn't be 5 chapters. It would be 50 chapters or 100 chapters or an undetermined number of chapters. In some areas of my life, I'm still in chapter one. I'm walking down the street, falling into the same hole. And saying, oh, it's not my fault. But yeah, it is my fault. So does God allow temptation? Well, but how come when Jesus was teaching the disciples the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:13, did he say, lead us not into temptation? Okay, well, let's take a look at that. Okay, the Greek word for lead is eisphero, which means to carry inward or to lead into. And into, the Greek word is eis, and that can be translated many, many different ways. A few of them are purpose, among, concerning, throughout, until, or express motion. Excuse me. And temptation is pyrosmos, meaning proving by experiment or experience or to tempt. Well, maybe what Jesus was saying would have sounded maybe a little more like this. Maybe he would have said, Father, don't make us so interested in wrong things we feel we have to experiment with them. Okay, rather than lead us not into temptation. Okay, because Jesus knew and he knows how weak we can be when we're faced with temptation. Sometimes not falling into temptation, but jumping into temptation, rolling around in it, wallowing in it like a pig in slop. Okay, because temptation is always there. It's always going to be there. If you defeat what's tempting you today, there's going to be something else, okay? Because temptation is always going to be there. Let's say your temptation is alcohol, okay? Not mine, but it's one that you cannot get away from, okay? Sports on TV is saturated with alcohol. You know, if you were to sit down and watch a three-hour football game, you know, I haven't counted how many beer ads or other kinds of alcohol ads that you would see, but you would see many, many more than what you would want to if you were trying to defeat that temptation. Of course, during election time, you don't see as many alcohol ads or any other kind of ads, but you know, we see it in newspapers, we see it in magazines, you know, on Facebook. You know, so many of my friends have things about, you know, getting drunk or drinking this or, you know, whatever. And if my temptation was alcohol, I'd be an alcoholic with all the stuff that I see about alcohol all the time. So if your temptation is pornography, that too is everywhere. You know, I read an article a few years ago about this young boy, maybe about 10 years old or so, I can't remember. He went to his parents and he says, how do I stop seeing women in underwear? And they were really confused. They didn't know what he was getting at, what he was talking about. Well, they'd been at the mall and they had gone by the Victoria's Secret. And the mannequins there are dressed in bras and panties and whatever else. And he had seen that and he just kind of had that burned into his mind and he wanted to get rid of that. So the TV, what they refer to as soft porn, is everywhere, okay? You know, your daytime soap operas, your evening sitcoms or police shows or whatever it might be, you know, it's there. Internet, you know, you can't get away from it. You know, it's there, and you know, you just can't not see it sometimes. Well, in Matthew 5:27-29, Jesus tells us this. This is a New Living Translation. It says, you have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So, if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Okay, when he says even your good eye, he's referring to your right eye, because right eye is considered the best. You know, the right hand, right seat of God, whatever. So, obviously, pornography equals lust. And if in Jesus's definition, lust equals adultery, there's a lot of guilty men and some women that are out there that have committed adultery hundreds, thousands of times. So we need to get away from that temptation in whatever way that we can. Well, what if your temptation is money? And you might say, well, why is money a temptation? Well, because some people will do anything to get it. Lottery tickets, you know, I've been in Walmart, whatever grocery stores, you know, so many times, and you see people buying lottery tickets and, you know, not wanting to judge, but looking at them and the way they're dressed and maybe the age that they are, you think, you know, you can spend your money on something better than this. Legalized gambling, I mean, it is everywhere. You know, one thing that gets me is on ESPN, they have poker. And to me, that's not a sport, I guess. But, you know, it's there. You know, things come up on the internet all the time, you know, about, you know, playing poker or blackjack or whatever it might be. And, you know, now there's so many states that have casinos in them, in different places. Raffles, you know, it's gambling, you know, because you're paying $1 or $5 or whatever in hopes of getting a car or getting whatever it might be. 50-50 drawings at your local whatever, you know, it's gambling. You know, you're, again, paying a couple of bucks in hopes of getting hundreds of dollars or whatever it might be. So those are things that are considered okay by society, as a whole anyways. But the stealing comes in many forms, you know, and gaining money in that way comes in a lot of forms. And taking something that doesn't belong to you, you know, I mean, that's pretty obvious. But what about our taxes, okay? When you take that deduction that you really shouldn't be taking, you have no reason to take, or you don't claim, you know, income, you know, somebody paid you X number of dollars to mow their lawn or to put the roof on their house or, you know, whatever it might be. And, you know, I mean, that's income that should be claimed. Or, you know, you get home from the store and you look at, you know, your receipt and you look at what you bought and you say, well, you know, they didn't charge me for this expensive item. You know, say you bought, I don't know, a set of dishes, and it came out and there were two of them that were plastic wrapped together and they were supposed to have been separated, but they weren't. And so you get home and you see you have two sets of dishes and you only paid for one. If you don't take it back, that's stealing. Or if you pay for something in cash, which doesn't happen that often anymore, but instead of getting back $2.05, you get back $20.05. You know, if you don't give that back, you know, that's stealing. So if money is your problem, you're in well-known company. Now, Judas fell to the temptation of money. Now, I know he wanted to see Jesus overthrow the Romans, and that wasn't going to be happening. And so since that wasn't happening, he was ready to cash in. So 30 pieces of silver. Now, I looked up online how much this 30 pieces of silver would be worth today. And it depends on what you look at, okay? Because it was anywhere between, I think it was $90 and change to $3,000. So anyways, it was enough for Judas to betray the Savior of the world. And we don't have to look for temptation. It's always going to find us, okay? Because it's right there in the middle. Now, obviously we can search for temptation, but is it still temptation when you go searching for it? Or are you just intentionally looking to fall to a certain sin? But if you're tempted, you're in good company. Okay, Matthew 4:1 from the NIV. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, according to Matthew, Jesus was tempted after the 40 days. According to Mark and Luke, Jesus was tempted for the whole 40 days. So either way, Jesus was tempted. And just the human side was there, and he was tempted because humanly, you know, when the devil said, you know, here, make these stones into bread, Jesus was probably thinking, I really am hungry, you know, and, you know, some bread really sounds pretty good right now. But we know that he's stronger than that. So the temptation was there. The writer of Hebrews tells us this in 4:15. It says, the high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings or temptations that we do, yet he did not sin. And I like the way the Message says this. It says, we don't have a priest who's out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. Now, granted, things have changed in the last 2,000 years, and there's temptations that we have today that weren't around at that time. And so Jesus didn't have to deal with internet pornography, or didn't have to deal with, you know, ads on TV, or TV in itself, or movies, or whatever. But do you think he would act any differently if he did have to face those things? I don't think so. So now let's look at James chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. This is through the New Living Translation. James tells us that God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you're being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Okay, God does not tempt us. Does he allow us to be tempted? Okay, we've already established that. You know, several times throughout Scripture, we can see that God allows temptation. So if he allowed Jesus to be tempted, you know that you're going to be tempted. And just why did he allow Jesus to be tempted? Well, just like we were told in Hebrews 4, Jesus had to be one of the guys, okay, for us to listen to him, okay? Because we'll listen to someone who has had a similar experience as ours. Okay, if you are a former drug user, okay, you can reach people that are dealing with drugs better than somebody that's never been there. Okay, if you're, say you were a former adult actress or actor, you know, you're the one that's going to be able to reach somebody that's in that situation now, not somebody that's never been there before. You know, as a first-time mom, you want to talk to moms, not to somebody that's never had any children. You know, a friend of ours, you know, the sister-in-law, she never had any kids, but she had taken some classes in college on, you know, child development or whatever it was, and so, you know, she thought she was a real authority. Well, now she has her own children, and she found out that some of that stuff doesn't really always work. Okay, but temptation is always going to be there. Okay, you cannot get away from it. And what is not something that's tempting you today may be something that you find is a temptation tomorrow, because we change. Our desires change. Like I said, right now, alcohol has never really been a temptation to me since I was a teenager. But, you know, maybe somewhere down the road that may change. I certainly hope not. I don't see that happening. But our desires change. But one thing that I've found is the closer you get to the Lord, the stronger you become. And the stronger you become, the better you can deal with temptations. Can you overcome them? Sometimes. Sometimes better than others. But one thing I've learned about defeating temptation is you have to want to. Okay? You have to reach out to the Lord for the help that only He can give. So I know that there's some of you that are dealing with temptation, because we all do, every day, different ways, different times. And so as a believer, I want to pray for you in that. So Father, I just lift up those believers that are struggling and, you know, reaching out maybe in the wrong ways or too late or whatever, for the help that they need. Lord, let them know that they need to come to you first and that you're there and that you are more than willing to help. You want to get them through those struggles every day. And Lord, if you help them today, they need to know that you're going to be there tomorrow to help them as well, that you're never going to leave them, that you're always going to be there. And Lord, I want to lift up those that don't know you, that don't know where to reach out for the help that they need, that they don't know the strength that you have. And they'll never know that until they make that commitment to you. So, Father, I just lift them up to you. And, Lord, just pray that they would make that commitment that they need to make, to know that Jesus Christ is indeed your Son, and that He died on the cross for their sins, all their sins. Okay, there's no sin that was too big that Jesus said He couldn't die for that one, that He died for all of our sins, and that He rose from the dead. And He says He's coming back. And Lord, let them admit that they've been a sinner. And Lord, let them know that, you know, they're going to still have sin coming at them, even more so after they make that commitment. But at least now they'll be able to know where to go for the strength and the help that they need. In Jesus' name, amen.